Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Oh yeah, Boston. Good morning. How we doing? This is the WEEI Producers Show every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on the flagship 93.7 FM. The number, if you would like to join us as we talk many, many things Boston sports, give us a call at 617-779-7937. My name is Ryan Garvin, producer of Jones and Mego with Arkan, joined always by Billy Lanny, producer of Gresh and Fourier. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
I see that our streak of
gray and gloomy
Saturdays has continued. I think Joe Braverman, what are we at, like 63 consecutive Saturdays of no blue skies?
No doubt about it.
I feel like there was one day mix in there where you might not have been here with it. The sun showed its face.
Oh, that
Lanny, you see a pattern, though?
That makes a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Brings the gray cloud with him.
Has your young son, Benny, has he ever seen a blue sky?
I don't think so. You know what he had? He was a June baby, so he saw a little bit last year.
Because I feel like
but
I don't
But now this
remember.
Winter has never ended for him.
I feel like every day this is how we start the show. I would love to talk about fun day. I would love to talk about, like, I think you guys got into it. I heard Keith getting like the hysteria around Jake Paul and Mike Tyson all the pearl clutching behind. I would love to start with something fun like that, but I glance over my left shoulder here and I look out. I'm like, God, it's just a gray white sky, and I feel like that's every single Saturday.
Yeah.
By the way, that the Jake Paul Mike Tyson thing, the pearl clutching on that is just incredible.
It's just I think a lot of it.
Are you really worried about that?
And worried about it.
Worried in the sense of, like, he's 57 years old.
Not at all. What do you think of, like, it's not like Jake Paul's going to, like, Ivan Drago him.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's not anything like that. And you see videos of Mike Tyson sparring and, you know, working out, and it's still impressive.
And I think that's what it's going to be. Now, I am a big fight fan
myself,
aficionado, if you will, and the amount of people in my universe of the combat sports world are like, you can't do this. Do you have no shame for yourself? Like, you guys make a living punching each other in the face. Like, relax a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not a big Jake Paul fan. Like, as a fighter, like, yeah, cool. You kind of, you know, bringing eyes to the sport, but I don't think, like, oh man, like, if this wasn't on Netflix, I'm not going to invest.
No, I don't think anybody's going to watch it.
I think there's a large percentage of the world that has a Netflix subscription.
Right.
So they're going to be like, Saturday night, why not?
I'm home.
You know what I mean? It's not. And the good thing about it, too, is like, all right, so I sign up for Netflix for a month to get it. I pay between, I don't, they have like scales now.
Yeah. Or tiers. Oh, yeah, that's right. I get advertisements on
that's
my,
what I'm saying. So, but
even I pay the cheap scale.
Right, so even if you pay the most expensive scale, which is probably $20, you watch the fight, you cancel it. It's $20.
No, you're,
you know what I mean? Because it's the same way. It's the same way with the DAZN, that app.
Yep.
You know, because Canelo's on there, Anthony Joshua's on there. So like the fight yesterday, the Ngannou Joshua fight,
God.
You could have watched on DAZN, and that's in the same situation where it's like, all right, I'll pay for it for a month for $25, and then cancel it.
And then you're out,
because it's not like, hey, Mayweather McGregor's like, you're going to give us $100. Mayweather Pacquiao, you're going to pay us $100 for it. Now it's like, all right, one time investment, I'll cancel it after the month. So I think with Netflix, because I feel there's a large amount of people that have Netflix, they're going to be like, yeah, why wouldn't I watch it?
Yeah, get ready for a big sparring session.
Yeah, that's
my prediction. It's going to be like the Roy Jones, Mike Tyson, you know, they're not going to hit each other in the head. They're going to rip the body a little bit.
Right, you knew that was going to be a draw from the get-go. And that's the thing, too. It's like, I don't know how this is going to play out in the sense that, is this going to have any impact on their record?
You
know what I mean? Like Tyson Roy Jones was just an exhibition, so it was just two guys going at it for the show.
You know, I don't think Mike Tyson's record is something that he's overly concerned about right now, quite frankly.
No, but for Jake Paul, it is. It puts on his record Mike Tyson. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's got the posters.
I saw something about the posters too. Like the photo they used of Tyson was from like 10 years ago, and then they like CGI'd like the fresh tattoos on him.
It's
this way of blurring actual boxing with like YouTube star. You know what I mean? Like, because they're doing the same thing with wrestling in the sense that the other Paul brother, like Logan Paul. Logan Paul did some boxing, fought some boxes, fought Mayweather, didn't mean anything, whatever. And now he's in professional wrestling. So it's like this whole world of just like combat sports, sports entertainment are kind of like coming together. You know, there was an event at I don't know if it was a Monday Night Raw or if it was like a wrestling pay-per-view where I forget the guy's name, but he calls out Conor McGregor.
Oh, my God.
And I was talking to Gresh about it. I'm like, yeah, that's cool for like the wrestling audience. But like, what if you're at a UFC event, like UFC 300?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you think anybody in that crowd or anybody watching at home is going to want to see this wrestler call out another person?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's like,
right. It's like, take your entertainment and keep it over there. This is real combat.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Chances are that guy hops in an octagon with an actual fighter, and they're not, you know, you're like the second fight of the night. You're early prelims before anybody shows
up. Right. So combat sports have all the lines blurred where it's like, all right, I don't know how much of this is legit. How much is this just a money grab? How much of this is just pure entertainment? Because, all right, so Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson. Okay, you knocked out a guy who's close to 60 years old.
Good for you.
Right.
Good
Mike
for
Tyson.
You.
Mike Tyson knocks
Hope
out
proud
Jake,
of
Mike Tyson knocks out Jake Paul. You're like, okay, it's Mike Tyson. It doesn't matter that he's almost 60 years old. It's still Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson has been in the ring with some of the greatest heavyweight fighters of all time.
I don't think that anybody is going to be knocking out anybody. And it's really where, like, and I'll transition this into one of the first things I want to hit on today. But there's going to be a whole generation of like Jake Paul fans, like these kids that don't know like the kind of monster that Mike Tyson was when I was young, like in the mid 90s, and you know, sitting down in front of the TV with my buddy and his dad just watching Mike Tyson just knock guy out after guy after guy. And they're never gonna like really understand, like
YouTube.
They're just gonna
have to YouTube it.
They're going to have to, because the guy that he is right now, or you know, he's doing more interviews and stuff. He seems more personable, but like that guy in the mid 90s was an absolute monster. And I transitioned that into this as I was reading John Heyman last night in the New York Post talk about the Boston Red Sox and some things that he's hearing about the Red Sox. And he starts with this. He goes, I'm old enough to remember when the Red Sox were the Yankees' great rival, Billy, which was like what? 1997, 1998, along the times when Mike Tyson was...
Right, like technically you'd be like, oh, it started when they gave him Babe Ruth.
Yes,
you know
course.
What I mean? So, and it ended when? Can you say it ended in 04?
I think that stuff ends when when both teams suck,
right.
Which is where the Red Sox have been. The Yankees have totally underperformed, but I think when neither team is really good or playing for anything significant, your rivalry is completely on the back burner. But that's how John Heyman starts this article about basically what the Red Sox are doing right now. And that's kind of where I want to start, because if you have football thoughts, draft thoughts, I'm happy to hear them. You know, normally when Shimey's in with us, we're doing a lot of draft talk, doing a lot of football talk. And again, happy to hear your thoughts on that. But there's some other things going on in the city right now that have been, I have been dying to get to. One of them is with the Boston Red Sox. So obviously their offseason is over. I mean, yep. I have no faith that they're going to go out and get any of these, you know, high-end pitchers or any of the Scott Boras four that's still available. And that has sort of caused questions within not just obviously, you know, what we do, but, you know, within baseball.
Not great.
No, it's not great at all. Alex Cora, good morning, sir. I'm looking forward to talking to you on Jones Omega with Arcan when the baseball season starts. So I'm reading John Heyman, and this part kind of jumped out to me where he's talking about, you know, the feast or famine recent existence of Boston, four times a champion this century, which is great. Happy for the Red Sox. He continues, right, has somehow fallen all the way to AL East afterthought. Of course, they could become a force again, which I'm not banking on. If only the historically decorated but seemingly distracted or disinterested ownership group starts trying to win again. And Billy, I feel very vindicated when I read stuff like that, because for months now I've been saying, and I don't know if I've said it here, if I've said it on, you know, the afternoon show or off air, whatever. But the idea that as a Red Sox fan, Billy, you and I feel like we are sort of a nuisance, an afterthought, like we're an inconvenience to John Henry. And I feel really good knowing that it's not just me. I'm not just being like crazy or irrational when I have these feelings. So John Heyman continues, the group, Fenway Sports Group, headed by John Henry, bought the Pittsburgh Penguins and Liverpool Soccer Club and lately is investing billions in golf, but not in baseball, raising speculation the Red Sox are temporarily on the back burner. One Red Sox person said he believes it, that he's even noticed that the fortunes of the Red Sox and Liverpool go in opposite directions. And then he writes, meantime, a club higher up insisted the Red Sox remain the cornerstone franchise in the ever-expanding portfolio. And I found that interesting because it's not just pundits, talking heads. Like, these are people within the Red Sox, and there's one side going, what are we doing right now? And there's another side going, no, it's fine. And I would hazard a guess that the person who said everything's fine and the Red Sox are a priority probably got himself a nice little extension, probably got himself, you know, a little bump up, a little thank you for always having to go out and take the slings and arrows of irrational Red Sox fans like me.
Parameters.
I'm not saying, Joe, stop it.
I said it, the CEO of Fenway.
I'm just totally speculating. But does that, I don't know. I read that and, like, on one hand, I feel kind of good about it, knowing that there are people in the building, obviously Rafael Devers, but there are people that are working within the Red Sox that are going, what are we doing right now?
Right.
And can we fix this?
Yeah, it's not Should just not delusions.
Thank you. Right. So it's not just me, right?
Right. No, it's tough because as a fan of the team, it's hard to accept that the owner of the team has other things on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a Red Sox fan, I don't know what it's like for other markets, but being in this market my whole life, this fan base is rabid. This fan base wants their team to always compete, and it's tough for us to accept that this guy who's a businessman, you respect him as a businessman. If you're a businessman, you have money, you move money, you take on assets, you let your money grow. So it's, you kind of see, all right, he's a businessman, so he's doing that. But as a fan of the sport, you want your ownership group to be focused on that sport. You know, it's tough, especially being Bruins fans, like knowing that he owns the Penguins.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
which, speaking of, that's going to be a telltale sign. Not that either is plausible, but you have the Sox this weekend in spring training in the Dominican Republic. It's like a special thing for spring training against the Rays. And this afternoon at the Garden is the Penguins and the Bruins. If, for some crazy reason, Henry is in a suite at TD Garden versus
if he's down
being in the Dominican, like, that's a clear-cut message
guess,
right there.
I'll take C, of the above.
Neither.
C is more likely.
I doubt strongly you would see John Henry at any Bruins game. I doubt strongly you would see him in the Dominican Republic. He was there for a fleeting moment that reporters saw him about 2 weeks ago. And you go forward, and you're wondering, like, can it get any worse? Like, I've really tried to, like, step back from this team and go, all right, can't all be that bad, right? Well, I feel, again, once again vindicated as I'm reading this morning, and I see David Schoenfeld from ESPN, and he's done an off-season grade for every team. Now, if you're going to read this, stretch your hands out, get, because you'll cramp like I almost did. As I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm going, okay, we're at the B minuses, C plus.
Also, it did it by C. Grades as opposed to alphabetical.
Oh, yeah, no, not alphabetical. Okay. Oh, we're going by grades. Oh, yeah, I'm going, where's my name?
I was going to say God. I'm like, wow, you should have gone that grade earlier.
I didn't study for this test. Oh, crap. Oh, I'm on the second. Oh, I'm not even on the second page. I'm on the third page. You got to go. This was
even worse if it was like one of those slideshow websites.
Oh, my God. Oh, did people still make those? Or did we finally go, oh, you know what? Those are a giant inconvenience.
Waste of time, right?
There's no sense of having a slideshow. NBC Sports Boston. I'm just saying. Again, really feeling vindicated, going, oh, okay, it's not just me in my insulated Boston sports world knowing how brutal this offseason has been for the Red Sox. No, no, no. Now people outside are taking notice of it. Enough for John Heyman to go, oh, okay, let me talk to some guys because this doesn't make any sense. The Athletic had a poll a couple weeks ago. And then I go to David Schoenfeld again, scrolling, C, C minus, D, D plus, not even a D plus. F. David Schoenfeld gave your offseason an F.
Only because that's the lowest grade you could go to.
Patriots got F minuses.
Well, that's kind of what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh, great. The Patriots can't get a decent weight room together. Beautiful lighthouse, but, you know, no snacks. Nothing for the families. And the Red Sox, whose offseason needs starting pitcher and second base, were kind of sort of addressed. You got one starting pitcher that probably won't pitch for the rest of the year. He's going to go join. We should have nice Spalding rehab patches on the jerseys for like Michael Fulmer and Liam Hendricks and now Lucas Giolito. And he gave up another starter to bring in a second baseman in Vaughn Grissom, who is also hurt right now. And the irony of that is not lost on me, where he's hurt and Chris Sale is like vintage Chris Sale and has never looked better. Payroll is down $20 million. David Schoenfeld writes, what's going on here? That's a good question. Perhaps the winter wouldn't look so underwhelming if minority owner Tom Werner hadn't exclaimed back in November that the team would be going full throttle this offseason. A comment that Werner eventually told MassLive Sean McAdam wasn't the most artful way of saying what I wanted to say. Well, congratulations. Now we are in this reality where you've already said that and proceeded to do nothing to fix your team. And just if you're curious how many other teams had a worse offseason than the Boston Red Sox did, there's only two. One of them was the Los Angeles Angels. The other was the Oakland A's. One team lost maybe the greatest baseball player in the history of the sport, and the other team is about to lose their freaking franchise.
Right.
Okay, Red Sox fans, this is where we are right now. It's not just you. You are not wrong to think that this team has been just mistreated by ownership. You are not wrong to think that at all, because now nationally, everybody else is picking up on it.
Oh, yeah. This is not great.
No, it's terrible.
It's not great at all. And you say that they're $20 million under, but that's $20 million more for John Henry.
Oh, of course.
You know,
that's
what I mean?
$20 million more. We're putting that in golf.
And that's the problem, though. Is
our ever expanding portfolio, but this is the cornerstone.
That's the first thing I thought of when you say it. It's like, oh, they're $20 million below spending. It's like, okay, but John Henry is $20 million richer for naught.
Yes.
I hate as a fan that it goes there. I absolutely hate that it's like, oh, yeah, no, well, that's John Henry just making another $20 million that he doesn't have to spend.
But, hey,
come to our stadium, pay $15 for a beer and $6 for a hot dog and sit in an uncomfortable seat.
And people will go. People will absolutely go.
And that's the truth. It's like, because on a national level, people still go because the place is a museum.
It's an experience. That's what they're selling.
The place is a social media hotspot where people can, hey, I took my photo, tag me at Fenway Park. You know what I mean? Like, I've always compared Fenway Park now these past couple of years to when you see those pop-up shops when people go, oh, hey, look, we can go sit on the friend's couch. We can, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying, though, right? It's like, oh, hey, we can lift up a fake couch and do the pivot scene from Friends. Like, that's what Fenway has become.
Oh, look,
it's
a fountain. Let's go dance in it.
Right, exactly. Oh, and that's how I see Fenway Park now, is that it's just a place where, hey, you go here. Look, we could take a picture with the outfielders from 1940s, whatever. And
it's
here's
the
Ted Wood. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do.
It's literally a social media hotspot now, just so people can go to Fenway, take their photos, post it online, and show all their friends that, hey, look at me doing the wave. Hey, look at me singing Sweet Caroline. You know what I mean? Because they don't care. They don't care that fans like us aren't like, I'm not paying for that, because they know out of town is, that's what we've become.
Ryan, you do look like someone who did watch Friends, but is too afraid to admit it.
No, I do not watch Friends.
was going to be my second option.
Not a big sitcom guy. And much like Friends, much like Mike Tyson, the Red Sox days are long behind them. Again, 617-779-7937. If you would like to call and join the producer's show today, we are here for an hour, but it's every hour on Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Those are some Red Sox thoughts. When we come back, I want to talk about your winter teams, the Boston Bruins and their very sleepy trade deadline, and also the hysteria around the Boston Celtics. I've been doing some digging on your Boston Celtics, and I know everyone's really feeling, you know, some raw feelings after the last two nights in Cleveland and Denver. And I am here, Billy, Joe, I am here to be a beacon of positivity when it comes to your Boston Red Sox. What? Positive?
Bright light on a gray day. Let's
Absolutely.
Hear it.
Absolutely. And we're going to do that after Joe Braverman tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Speaking of those Celtics, the West Coast road trip continues tonight. They will be in Phoenix to take on the Suns. Jason Tatum is probable with an ankle injury, while Jaylen Brown is questionable. On the other side, Suns all-star Devin Booker is questionable with an ankle injury as well. Tip-off on ABC. That's right, Saturday night primetime is set for 8:30. Speaking of ABC, that is where the Bruins will play when they welcome the Pittsburgh Penguins to town this afternoon. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 3 p.m. Sticking with the Bruins, yesterday at the trade deadline, the Bees acquired former Pat Maroon from the Minnesota Wild. The former Stanley Cup champion won a couple with Tampa Bay. They also acquired defenseman Andrew Peak from the Blue Jackets. In return, the Bees sent Jakub Saburil to Columbus. The Patriots and tight end Hunter Henry agreed to a three-year, $27 million deal yesterday. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Ravens are in agreement with defensive tackle Justin Madubuike on a four-year, $98 million deal. This includes $75.5 million guaranteed and a $53.5 million signing bonus, which are both records for that position. Red Sox are down in the Dominican Republic for two spring training games against the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend. First game is set for this evening at 5:05. You can hear Will Fleming on the call right here on 93.7 WEEI FM. And the Revolution return to MLS action tonight. They'll be on the road to battle Atlanta United. The Revs are still looking for their first MLS win of the season after dropping their first two games. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I really like the tandem we have right now. I'm very happy that we stand pat there. rumors are rumors in terms of what happens in private conversations. You guys know me well enough. It's not coming from here in terms of what we're trying to explore and what other teams are asking about. I made no bones that if I had to rob from a real strength this hockey club, that was something we may have to do if it made our team ultimately better. We didn't move in that direction. But that's not an indictment on the two great goaltenders we have. It's actually been a real strength of our hockey club from day one, and it'll continue throughout, and we feel very comfortable each and every night. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not ever going to get into a conversation with what I may have talked to Linus about. I've acknowledged we've explored, you know, different situations, and we had opportunities to move different players, but I'm not getting into the, you know, the intricacies of what's in somebody's contract.
What? You kind of just did, Sweens? It was not a no. It was not the WEI producer show either, because that's what this is right now. Ryan Garvin, Billy Lanny, Joe Braverman producing. No Scheim today. He'll be back next Saturday. The NHL trade deadline has come and gone. And despite the fact that the Boston Bruins didn't really do, frankly, anything to improve the current roster, there was certainly a lot of news attached to the Boston Bruins that was very interesting. So that was Don Sweeney addressing the media yesterday over, I'm guessing over at Warrior Ice Arena. And that last part was about Linus Ullmark. And I think the initial report, obviously, if you've been living under a rock for the last couple of years, the Bruins have two pretty good goaltenders. Now, Billy, I don't know about you. I personally don't think they have needed to have two great goaltenders. I think they didn't really know what they had in Jeremy Swayman. And in order to kind of bridge the gap between the next great goalie from Tuukka Rask, they went out and grabbed Linus Ullmark at a contract that, you know, good for you, Linus, for getting. I don't really understand the value of it. I think, I mean, obviously a Vezina winner, but $5 million a year for a guy who had average numbers in Buffalo in a 16-team. I don't get these contracts in hockey, man. A 16-team.
Half the league.
Half the league. You can just go, no.
No.
I'm not going.
Right.
You can't make me. So, obviously, this team has needed to address a couple of things. I know there some people probably wanted some center help. I think it was some left shot help as well. Some defensive core, like depth, I think is something that never have too much of.
Right. It's the basic things that every team who was competing at the trade deadline is looking for.
Yes. And you had, you know, I think an asset or two that you probably could have used to get one of those guys. And that was Linus Ullmark, obviously.
DeBrusk
is another one because he is an upcoming free agent.
Grizzlick, same way, same thing.
You got a couple of guys that, you know, maybe Don Sweeney was thinking about moving out, and he didn't do it. Now, it was Frank Saravalli from, where the
he
hell
does
are
the,
you,
the Daily Faceoff.
Okay.
President of the Writers Association.
All right. Hockey guy.
Hockey
knows
guy.
Knows more than me. He knows if the puck is stuffed or whatever. Tweeted, fascinating day for the hashtag NHL Bruins. Sounds like they had a deal on the table to move Linus Ullmark to the LA Kings, but that didn't end up crossing the finish line. And more people were later saying that it was because Linus Ullmark said, no, I'm not doing that. I am vetoing this trade because I have the right to do so because this is the contract that we agreed upon. So now he's here. I imagine things haven't been overly comfortable with Linus Ullmark in the front office. I would imagine the same thing is probably true for a Jake DeBrusk or maybe a Matt Grizzlick, these guys who are pending free agents that aren't going to get what they want. Now, I'll ask you first, Billy, are you happy with this trade deadline? Did you want the Bruins to invest in this group?
This was the first time in the last couple of years that I thought, all right, they're going to get rid of one of the goalies.
Hmm.
Last year, there was a solid rotation of the goaltending. It went well. Playoffs came. You really kind of went away from it a little bit, and it bit you in the butt. You know, this is the year I thought, okay, so they'll move Ullmark. But then again, half the league he can shut down. You know, so you get Pat Maroon, you get Peak, you get Andrew Peak. You made a couple small moves just to show that, hey, we did something. You know, do those moves make me think like, oh, nice, here we go? Like, Maroon's good, and I think in the sense when it comes to the playoffs, you have a guy who's a little bit of an enforcer.
Pat Maroon and Jack Edwards will hold the Stanley Cup up together.
Right, that's exactly.
So
like
that's so good.
But again, you get Maroon in for the you know, the run of the final of the regular season and into the playoffs. That gives you a little bit of an enforcer, which is what you need. But the problem is now you have two goalies, and I guess it all depends on how the team feels about it. You know what I mean? If like Allmark, if management's like, well, we don't want to get rid of, if the team's happy with Allmark there, maybe he's happy in the situation as opposed to going to LA and being the guy there. So he might feel, he might like the fact that like, all right, I'll stay in Boston. We have a really good chance to win. I can add a Stanley, potentially add a Stanley Cup to my Vezina trophy. You know what I mean? So he, I guess he's just willing to just kind of be on the bench. You know, it's weird because you think as a player you want to play, but he probably figures like, why would I go to Los Angeles where, you know what I mean? There, where are they? They're two spots behind the Canucks and Oilers in the Pacific. They're a playoff team. Yeah, right. Yeah. They're a playoff team. But I feel that it's tough because like you're not helping the team you're on. You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to.
I mean, it's
like this is how you can help. Like if you're not getting on the ice,
it's so basic to say, but obviously you can't play both goaltenders. And look, if he doesn't want to go to Los Angeles, again, it's a contract that they agreed upon.
Right.
I think it's a lot of money to have two goaltenders like this, especially when Jeremy Swayman, I think, kind of jumped up a little quicker than they had anticipated. He goes to Los Angeles. He's splitting time with Cam Talbot, who is a fine goaltender in his own right. But, you know, chances are it's going to be him or the other guy. And you've got 17 games down the stretch to figure out, again, are we going to do the same thing that we did last year? Are we just going to settle on a guy and let him have the majority of the reps to lead up to the playoffs? And I don't think they've figured that out yet.
No.
I think they're just sort of in this position where like, it's kind of worked so far. And look, despite the fact that I really don't believe in this team, this group long term, Don Sweeney in the past has generally been the best general manager in this city when it comes to addressing needs at the trade deadline. I thought he was great last year, bringing in Dmitry Orlov and Tyler Bertuzzi and Garnett Hathaway, and I really would have liked to see some of those guys stick around. But I was saying this going into last year, and I still feel the same way. At some point, you have to pay the bill for your 2011 Cup run. That team, you did a lot of work to keep together. You paid a decent amount of money for, you know, your high-end defensive guys, Patrice Bergeron, and the contract limit was set. Nobody was going to make more than Patrice. Well, you keep trading away your assets and you keep trading away your draft picks. Eventually, you're not going to have anything in the pipeline coming up. So I think this was finally the year where Don Sweeney said, no, figure it out, Jim Montgomery.
Yep.
Figure it out, goalie Bob. I have given you everything that you need. And what did you do with it? You were the most embarrassing team, arguably, of the 2023 season in any sport, where you set a freaking record as an original six team in the NHL, which is as old as dirt, and you became the greatest regular season team of all time to do what?
Right.
To choke to the Panthers, the Everglades team, that group that throws rats on the ice. We are royalty up here.
Right.
We're an original six hockey team. Oh, don't you feel it every time the Bruins and the Leafs play or the Bruins and the Rangers play? Original six, original six. And you were an embarrassment last year after
You'd
I did everything.
Ask goalie Bob a little more.
Oh, my God. It's gonna get ready again for the goalie Bob discussion once they're back in the playoffs. So I commend Don Sweeney for not adding to this group, because the plan going forward is figure it out, guys. Pasta.
They have no choice but to figure
it
out.
They have to. Pasta,
they have no
you're
picks,
making money.
They have no money.
Brad, you're here. Brad's here one more year. He's not making any money. You've got a goaltender that I believe in. You've got a good decor in Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy that I really like. A lot of teams don't even have, like, two of those.
Right.
You know, I got a goalie, an elite wing, and my captain when he's playing is one of the best wings in hockey, and then two really, really strong cornerstone guys at the blue line. Like,
what else do you want me to do?
Some teams would do crazy trades to get that good luck. So now you got to supplant what you have with the talent coming up. But again, I've had this argument on my show where they're just going, oh, just trade it. Just trade what you have. Like, you have to have something coming up. You can't just pay every guy. You can't just build everything through free agency and hockey and hope that it's all going to work out. Like, Kevin Shattenkirk, fine. JVR, fine. Morgan Geeky, fine. Those guys have been all good. Pavel Zacha came in from New Jersey and has played well. I like his contract. But eventually, at some point, your young kids, your Lorais, your Patras, all those guys are going to come up and start plugging in the gaps and do it in a cost-efficient way. Because if I'm Don Sweeney, all I've done the last couple of years is just cut the bottom out so we can have this very, very poorly balanced top to do what? And again, I go back to what everybody tells me at the playoffs. Oh, it's the playoffs. Anything could happen.
Yeah, brand new
I don't
season.
Think that's a good reason to just keep chipping away at your future because anything could happen.
Right. Do you want to be in a better position for that situation? You know, anything can happen. You could be like, all right, yeah, anything can happen. We tried to do this,
something
this,
sustainable.
And then this happened.
Something sustainable is all I'm looking for. So yeah, Pat Maroon, I don't love the idea that he had to go after Jack Edwards, you know, when Jack was just goofing on him. I don't think a lot of guys like Jack Edwards. Jack's always been cool to me.
Yeah.
I like that he embraces the theatrics of sports.
Yeah,
you know,
he embraces the homerism.
That's the thing. Yep. If he was like a national guy, it'd be tough to listen to. But I like what Jack does, and he really like loses himself.
Right,
in the
call. He's the Tommy Heinsohn and Johnny Most of the Bruins.
Does not bother me the way it bothers other people. And right. I didn't really like Pat Maroon. Like, let me ridiculous. Go tell you something. Because I heard Andy Brickley laughing on that clip, too. I didn't see anything about Pat Maroon going hunting down and getting in Andy Brickley's face about laughing at him, too, for too many pizzas. And as you said, Andrew Peak is probably going to be a piece of work. So this is your group.
I've got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between then and now.
I laughed. Look, Pat Maroon wins.
Who doesn't love pizza?
Pat Maroon wins. I don't know what it is. He goes to teams and they're very successful. So clearly he's some kind of character guy.
The one thing that gets me is the fact that it's like coming off back surgery. Yeah. You know what I mean? It isn't like a back injury. It was surgery.
No, it's a.
So he's still got to wait another, what is it, 2-3 weeks for him to
maybe
get back, maybe to just get back on the ice, not even the game.
Was it a conditional sixth round? So he has to play in a playoff game in order for the return to go to Minnesota, which is where he came from.
I think it's just moves to say they did something.
I guess.
But again, because they have no picks, they have no money, they really just, they don't have any really.
No draft picks.
Right.
No, nothing. You're up against the cap.
Similar to the Sox signing Liam Hendricks. It's a low risk, but it can be a high reward if it pays off.
I guess, but he's definitely not going to do, much like Liam Hendricks, it's going to be a rare chance that he does anything to help you currently.
Right, the Hendricks thing, it's trying to figure out what the equivalent is because they assume with the Red Sox that, you know, Kenley will get traded.
Mm-hmm.
When we move Kenley, Hendricks will be good to go. So it's one of those things that's like, all right, so when Maroon is good to go, who does that impact?
Probably a fourth line guy.
Right, you know what I mean?
Probably.
It isn't anything like, it's not like your closer, you know what I mean? So it's a good move as a little backup plan, but the where he lies on your depth chart isn't anything important.
No, not at all. If you're upset about the Bruins not doing anything at the trade deadline, sorry, I don't share your sympathies. I like that Don Sweeney is pointing the finger back at these guys and go, no.
What else you want me
you
to
guys
do?
Are talented enough, all right, despite the fact that you have choked in almost every single game you could choke in post All-Star break. You're still at a point where you can be competitive. It's on you guys.
And it's a lot for like Marchand, you know, first year captain. Mm-hmm. To he's the one who has to rally the troops and be like, all right, this is our team. It's what were the hoodies the Patriots had? No one's coming to save us. Or whatever.
Nobody is. Nobody still is.
So whatever their slogans, they had more slogans than
Joe Judge, the great visionary of our times, the great motivator.
But that's the thing. It's like you're putting the trust in Marchand to tell these guys, like, hey, all right, this is who we are. Let's prove it. Kind of like Major League. Let's just go out there and win it. You know what I mean? Let's, you know, give an F you to them if they don't think they can do anything type thing, you know?
Yes, and there is some scandally clad photo of Don Sweeney in a bikini. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. 617-779-7937. Who knows? Like that, I've always been told anything can happen in the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe they go and Andrew Peak is the MVP or whatever the 80,000 awards you get
in hockey for doing good things. So that those are our collective thoughts on the Boston Bruins. We're going to hit a break here. When we get back, I promised I would be a beacon of light, and I kind of got lost a little bit in my my rantings on the Boston Bruins, but I did promise I was going to tell you Celtics fans that are really concerned about what you've been seeing the last couple of days from your Boston Celtics. I am here to tell you that it is going to be okay, and we will get into that right after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Everything's gonna be.
This is Bruce, right?
Who's the boss? Bruce. It'll be Mr. David Lee Murphy and
Bruce.
Kenny
Chesney. I know what I'm hearing. Bruce, you can't fool me.
David Lee Murphy sounds like a killer.
This is the WEI producer show.
Who shot him? Oh, David Lee Murphy shot him.
It's one of those things.
I don't know who these people are.
I know Kenny Chesney. Other than that, I don't know country music.
Why am I Kenny Chesney? Well, I am Ryan Garvin. That is Billy Lanning, Joe Braverman.
Well, the title of the song is Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Is that what we're doing?
Oh, yeah, positivity. Right. I said right, you're the focal point. Don't lose it.
I said I was going to be the beacon. Right, okay, yeah.
You're going to be the you're going to be the Gillette Lighthouse.
Okay, I can do this. I can do
this. Bring us in.
Okay, so let's talk about the Boston Celtics in our final segment before we cede our time to Ken and Curtis. The amount of hysteria surrounding the Boston Celtics the last couple of days has been kind of funny to me. Billy Lanning, would you say that your faith in the Celtics and namely Jason Tatum has been shaken to the core after seeing what happened in Cleveland and Denver?
Shaken to the core is a little dramatic.
That's what I
do. But it's left me with some question marks.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like we're talking during the break where they're having such a great season mm-hmm. that I'm just so burnt by how it went for the Bruins, and I hate to cross sports. That in the back of my mind, I'm like, something's going to happen here. Something's going to happen here. And it's corny and it's cliche and it's like they just have to stay healthy. But there's just something about this team that I'm like, oh my God, the third quarter woes are going to bite them in the ass at the wrong time.
See, I don't share the concerns at all. I mean this. I don't like being this guy. But I watch the games.
Yep.
And I've always felt that people that sit there and look down their nose at people that make opinions that don't really watch anything is kind of pointless. Like, not everybody is going to be able to stay up and watch the West Coast games right. Like I do, but I enjoy watching at night.
You're
when
night owl.
Going on. I it's the shift that I work. So I have seen a lot of the Denver Nuggets. I've seen a lot of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've seen a lot of Golden State and Minnesota, whoever. And I look at all those teams that have, we'll just call him Jones Omega with Arcan, shaking in their boots, just hypothetically, about who would possibly stop the Celtics on the road to Banner 18. And questions have been brought up about how clutch Jason Tatum is in the closing moments of games. Well, I was watching Milwaukee play the LA Lakers last night, and it was a close game. Milwaukee, by the way, somebody who you'll probably be seeing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And no LeBron for the Lakers.
No LeBron. Nope. D'Angelo Russell had an excellent night. Anthony Davis, who's made of glass, hurt his shoulder and was walking around with his arms swinging for the last 4 minutes of the game. That's neither here nor there. But after LA steals that win that they almost completely gave away, They flashed statistics about what the Lakers have been doing, and I might get the record wrong, but it's right around this. It said in clutch time, which is nerd talk for close games. And
5 points in 5 minutes.
Thank you. 5 points in the last 5 minutes or overtime. The
nerd alert, nerd yep. alert.
Thank you, Fourier. We're going to do some numbers. The Los Angeles Lakers are the best clutch team in basketball, Billy. They're 19-8. And I saw that number and I went, oh, wow. So being the best clutch team, air quotes, doesn't mean a damn thing.
No.
It's not important. It's no, they're not, they're I should seed. Say, it's not nearly as important as some other people would make it out to be. And you're right. Would you rather have the fortunes of the Boston Celtics right now, or would you rather be the LA Lakers? You want to be the best clutch team? Right, do you want to be those guys? Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to be the best clutch team?
And you're
you
maybe be the, a playing team.
And you want to be the in-season tournament winners?
Not for a second. You know,
it's the same thing.
So I see... I didn't love Jason Tatum's approach to the last shot in Cleveland. I didn't. No. I don't have any problem. I would, 10 times out of 10, Billy and Joe, I would absolutely take my money on that corner shot that Jason Tatum missed. I'm sorry that he missed it. But normally he hits that. And I say that to say this. There is no reason to worry about what the Celtics can do down the stretch. Number one thing they got to do, just win 13 out of your next 20. 13 out of your next 20, if I've done my math correctly, you lock up the number one seed, you're good. You don't want to travel, and you sure as you know what, do not want to go to Denver and have to play four games in Denver. You want home court advantage over the Denver Nuggets. Number two, just stay healthy. There is a staggering amount of injuries right now in basketball. Jalen Brunson has just come back from a knee injury, but he hasn't had OG Anunoby, and he hasn't had Julius Randle. Chris Middleton is hurt right now for the Bucks. Obviously, Joel Embiid hasn't played. Like, there is
Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns.
An all-star caliber list of injuries that have taken place in the NBA. So the Celtics just need to stay healthy. And then from there, just keep doing what you're doing. I would call these two games the anomaly in what the Celtics have done. And it really is just, it's fascinating psychology in a Boston sports fans where you have, what have they played? 60 games, I think. 62 games.
48-14.
Yeah. And you have this wealth of evidence that has indicated how strong and how talented this team is. And they lose two games, close games, by the way, like really close games.
You blew a 22-point lead in 9 minutes.
I'm talking about the Nuggets. You did. You blew a 22, but that's going to happen in basketball. That's just how the game is. Right. Teams go on runs. You let go of the rope. I'm not saying it's an acceptable loss, but I'm also not saying that's who the Celtics are.
Right.
And that's my point, is you lose these two games, and all of a sudden, that just becomes who the team is now. That just becomes who Jason Tatum is.
I think the
now.
Problem is that with what we do is... We have to talk about it
of
right
course.
Now. That's the problem with it.
We have to analyze.
We have to overanalyze, you know.
Losses are good for business.
Yeah.
I'll show you. I'll take you behind the curtain and show you how the sausage is made. Losses are good for business. Right. They're easier to talk about than wins, to just go, aren't they great? Everything's so great.
You know, so having to do a show here today, it's just kind of how it is.
But I feel like.
How you have to panic at the.
Well, and that's just that I think there was just so much on one side. There was like too much panic. Right. And I'm going. What are we talking about?
So, and if they win tonight in Phoenix against a really good Suns team.
Oh, nobody will care.
Yeah. Everyone will reset.
Well, they didn't have Devin Booker. Like, it's still a pretty good Suns team. Like, again, wouldn't want to play them in the first round. Like, if you're Sacramento, like, I wouldn't want to see Phoenix in the first round. But I just think that is Jason Tatum a clutch player is really, it's a lot to do. About nothing. A lot ado. I don't know what the
much
phrase
ado.
Is. Much ado about nothing. Thank you. In the sense that, go back to the clutch stat, the nerd stat that I gave you before about the LA Lakers. Like, congratulations. You know why they're 19-8 in those? Because they're always in close games. You want to know why the Celtics probably aren't that close? Because the Celtics are generally taking care of business in the third quarter. And that's what I hear about with Jason Tatum is, oh, he doesn't have those moments. He doesn't have those game winners. Well, tell me how many game winners Nikola Jokic has. I'll wait.
Right.
I can think of one, hit a buzzer beater from the half court line against Golden State earlier this year. Other than that, exactly. You know why? Because good teams take care of business in the third quarter, and that's what your Boston Celtics have been doing all along. I think, in fact, I would say almost strongly enough, I know that Nuggets game was the anomaly because Jason Tatum's not a 15-point-a-night guy.
Right.
Michael Porter Jr. probably is closer to 9, 10 points a game. He's maybe screws around and gives you 30 points. Overall, that's probably what you're going to get from that. That Nuggets team were champions for a reason. I still like the matchup. I still feel very confident about, you know, and if we had more time to get into it, I've looked at the Bucks, I've looked at the Cavs. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk through the Eastern Conference, but I think the demise of the Celtics has been overblown recently. And I am here to tell you, Celtics fans, it's okay. You should feel good about this team. They absolutely are the odds-on favorite to win a championship for good reasons, and chances are we're probably going to have a parade here when the sky is not so gray.
Hopefully it's not on a Saturday.
Today. If it is on a Saturday and we are doing a radio show, put it in your calendar. You are getting a gray sky.
But no, that's just you did bring some light into the room, man.
It feels brighter in here, right?
It does. It really does.
All right. We're getting the lights flashed at us. This has been the WEEI Producer Show. Thank you for listening. We are here every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Usually Chris Scheim will be back with us next week. That's Billy Lanny, Joe Braverman producing behind the glass. My name is Ryan Garvin. Thank you for listening. We will be back next Saturday. Ken and Curtis are next. See ya!
Later.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.